Thank you for tuning into the podcast. As always, I'm so grateful for your interest and your support. In this episode, I'd like to share some reflections on blessing others. A wise mentor of mine once told me that as we mature in age, a great commandment that we must keep is to bless more and curse less. Bless more and curse less. I took this advice to heart. When my children were little, every morning I would make the sign of the cross on their foreheads, give them a kiss, and say, "My beloved son, with whom I am well pleased." I still do this, and I am grateful I had someone in my life who empowered me to say these words to my boys. We aren't, however, very much of a blessing culture. I think our culture is the opposite. To me, it's a sad reality that too often in our politics, in our church circles, our workplaces, our families sometimes, we hear words of condemnation, of contempt, of dismissal, sometimes of hatred. We don't often hear words of blessing. I'd like to explore what it means to bless and how we can more intentionally go about blessing others. The narrative of the Bible begins with blessing. God announces that creation is good, and that human beings, the creatures made in the image and likeness of God, are very good. The Christian scriptures begin with words of blessing by God on Jesus at his baptism. The Creator says of his Son, "This is my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Because Jesus is blessed, this is the lens through which he sees everything else. This is why he can say, as he does in the Beatitudes, that though you might be poor and persecuted, you too are blessed. I'd like to share a little Buddhist parable on this topic. One day, as the Buddha was sitting under a tree, a young, trim soldier walked by, looked at the Buddha, noticed his weight and his fat, and said, "You look like a pig." The Buddha looked up calmly at the soldier and said, "And you look like God." Taken aback by the comment, the soldier asked the Buddha, "Why do you say that I look like God?" The Buddha replied, "Well, we don't really see what's outside of ourselves. We see what's inside of us and project it out. I sit under this tree all day, and I think about God. So when I look out, that's what I see. And you must be thinking about other things." This illustrates a philosophical idea that whatever is received according to the mode of the receiver. In other words, we project what is inside of us out onto the world. When we have been blessed, our heart is filled with love and affirmation, and we look on the world this way, the way God looks at the world. And then we get to feel about life, about others, about all creation, the way God does. Conversely, when we are cursed, however, we in turn will curse. And what does that look like? It's a stance toward life that sees others with contempt, that wishes others ill, that says, "I wish you weren't here." To curse is to assume ill will, to not give one the benefit of the doubt, to not care how one's words or actions might harm another. For example, it tells a child shrieking with joy, to "shut up, don't irritate me." It calls people a loser. This is all the antithesis of saying, "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." How do we bless another? Father Ronald Rollheiser suggested a blessing contains the following three elements. First, we authentically, truly see another. We look upon them with what he calls the gaze of appreciative consciousness. Our inward orientation toward the other is one of love, gratitude, compassion, and valuing. Second, we speak well of the other. We tell them in words or nonverbal communication that we are grateful for them, and happy that they are a part of our life, our family, or our workplace, or community. We make others, especially young people, feel welcomed and appreciated. We recognize their talents and gifts, and let them know that we are better for their being with us. We give our life away so that the blessed person has more life. And that's the third point. We give our life away so that the blessed person has more life. There are some biblical archetypes that illustrate this point. We look to Joseph, the father of Jesus, and the Magi. They have key roles in the story of Jesus, and after they fulfill those roles, they disappear. They leave the stage, and we don't hear anything more from them. They bless the child through their words and deeds. Then they decrease so Jesus can increase. The opposite of this is Herod. He cannot bear to share the stage with anyone. He would rather do murder than bless. Interestingly, the cursing of Jesus by the Herodian family continues through the end of Jesus' life and beyond. We see the Herods skipping across the gospel story and into the Acts of the Apostles, continuing to be a source of antagonism and obstruction. Cursing, cursing, cursing. A true symbol of cursing another. Blessing can flow across and among generations. But I think it is especially powerful when the old bless the young, when fathers bless sons, when mothers bless daughters, when men bless men. This can be a difficult thing for men to do because so few of us have been blessed, either by fathers or any other men. In our culture, men are more apt to curse than bless, and we all pay a price for that. Finally, the fruit of being a blessing person, of blessing others, is that we get to feel the way God feels. God blesses everyone in all creation, and God looks on all with love, tenderness, compassion, and kindness. And that must feel wonderful, to feel that way about the world. Conversely, if you curse like Herod did, you get to feel like Herod did. Historians tell us that he died an angry, paranoid, vengeful, violent, murderous man. So what will it be? Will our stance toward life be blessing or cursing? I'd like to close with a quote about blessing from the great spiritual writer and teacher Henry Nouwen. He wrote, "It is remarkable how easy it is to bless others, to speak good things to and about them, to call forth their beauty and truth when you yourself are in touch with your own blessedness. The blessed one always blesses." And people want to be blessed. This is so apparent wherever you go. No one is brought to life through curses, gossip, accusations, or blaming. There is so much of this taking place around us all the time, and it calls forth only darkness, destruction, and death. As the blessed ones, we can walk through this world and offer blessings. It doesn't require much effort. It flows naturally from our hearts. When we hear within ourselves the voice calling us by name and blessing us, the darkness no longer distracts us. The voice that calls us the beloved will give us words to bless others and reveal to them that they are no less blessed than we. I thank you for tuning in, and let's close with a moment of quiet meditation.